If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the light and love of the Most Radiant One, the Christ. I am Commander Lady Athena, and you are listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. This evening our topic is genuine power and glory, and its counterfeits. So let's take a deep breath. Just relax. Let yourself sink into the kingdom of heaven within you. That pure place of truth and complete connection to the all that is. Take another deep breath. And will and intend your fusion and merging with the one divine spirit of life. With each breath you take, infuse yourselves and every molecule of your brain, your nervous system, your body with the power of the one living life source. Another deep breath. And just consecrate this temple that you call your body. And realize that God lives inside you. That is His church, His tabernacle, His temple, His mosque, His masjid, His gurudwara, His mandir, His holy of holies is your heart, within which He is installed. When I say He, I don't imply a gender. The Absolute has no gender. Until it is stepped forth from the soul plane, intensification, the streams of living light and love which take their embodiment in us as the spirit and the soul, which has got the mind and heart of the one divine source, connecting down into the densest point of compressed light. We call this density the earth. Really, it is just a thought form. It is simply a point in which we can condense limitless light for a period in a time into time, space, duality, and polarity definition, which is interesting, I think, for us. But there's a grand purpose in it, too. And tonight we want to look at how we can connect with genuine power, like Jesus did. That same degree of power that functioned in a unique way through Him and His embodiment, He has now deputized, anointed, and sent into us, His disciples, to manifest in the same way without any diminution. In fact, He said, greater things than I have done, you will do, because I have gone to my Father. Well, one of the meanings that could be derived from that statement is because He took the wholeness of Himself, densified it for a period of time into the human wavelength of manifestation, and then consciously brought that through the whole continuum of time, space, consciousness, and beyond into the absolute timeless elements of the all that is, and bridged it, and prepared a place for us that where he dwells in that unlimited, expanded, cosmic Christ consciousness, that we also can manifest in that wholeness. Because it only takes one to forge that path within the collective sonship that we call the sons and daughters of God, or the collective Messiah. And so we are the collective anointed ones, which is what the word Christ means. We are the collective anointed. But if we don't understand the anointing, and if we haven't been anointed with the power of the living God, if that has not been quickened within us, then we don't have the power. Then we can't manifest these greater works. How do we get them? Well, there's a very simple way. And again, it seems to go contrary to everything we're taught in today's world. And particularly in the lines of many, many teachings that we in the West, particularly here in America, and those of us on the Internet, have had fed into our consciousness to where there's not a consistent pecking order of approach. There's a little bit of this and a little bit of that. And where you don't have a consistency in application unless you can really discern the keys of consciousness, which comes in a very precise ordering, unless you understand them, and few do today, you get confused. And you have a hodgepodge of this and a hodgepodge of that, which, you know, without direct experience, you end up confused. You will always have doubt where you haven't had a direct experience. So the challenge is to move into those layers of consciousness and begin to know thyself. When you know yourself, then you know you begin to enter into the realms of the unified oneness, which we call God. You begin to move in the realms of the spirit. And it's a whole new ball game, because as I said last week, it's not something that you can strong arm your way into. As my teacher often said, the gates to the kingdom of heaven open outwards. So if you're banging and storming the gates of heaven, you got to back up so they can open. And the gates of heaven I'm speaking of are in the innermost consciousness that we call the heart or the soul. That innermost being that is your core divine essence, that breathes you, that gives you inspiration, that gives you knowledge, like we spoke last week of the word of knowledge. It's that part of you that goes beyond your human conditioning and programming into the realms that pertain only to God, and those would be the realms of glory and revelation. You know, the Lord said, call unto me, and I will answer you, and show you great and mighty things that you know not of. But many of us never think to ask for the things that God would more than willingly give us. Something far more important than the money to pay your rent, as important as that might be. He wants to give you that eternal abode that you don't have to pay rent on and worry about being evicted from. He wants to make your temple an immortal tabernacle of light. He wants to take the molecules and turn them from the carbon-based constriction that we call third density. He wants to raise the electronic spin until you morph into, excuse me, an immortal body of light. That's what he wants to do. And to do that, we have to back off of what we think is our mad push and mad rushing and forcing and attempting out of our own human conjecture to reveal the glory of God. We have to back off and become a little less mentally driven, ego-driven, goal-driven, and become like that little child that simply receives its own inheritance, its inheritance of its fullest loving measure from its parents with love and simplicity. So let's take another deep breath. And just allow the Lord to remove some of that complexity, some of that miasma and fog bank of doubt and questions and confusion and I don't know what to believe. And just allow a clean place. In fact, in your imagination, just get out a nice broom and start sweeping your mind. Let it be a broom of light. And let it just sweep all the corners and crevasses. And as the dust is swept away, it dissolves into pure light. And we ask the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, the Word incarnate, the Word that was spoken and became everything that is, the creative Word that became flesh and dwelt among us, in us, and as us. Allow that living Word of God to fully inhabit you. Yes, it sounds like a celestial ringing, a celestial singing. It is God's song of love. When your mind is clear of all of those questions and doubts, confusion, it fills you with what's called straight knowledge, direct revelation that is not of this world. And you will know it's direct revelation because when God speaks the living Word within you, that transforms the temporal into the eternal. Know that the teachings that we have been given through Jesus the Christ always has more than one application. I have found that his teachings are open-ended. They're living words which open to where you are in a perfect way for your understanding, but take you the next step beyond where you've left off. They bridge you, never leaving you where you were found, but always taking you that next step. And likewise, the words of Jesus, which are often translated purely in terms of the outer world and the outer physical form by most organized religions, take on a whole deeper esoteric and mystical understanding when they are studied through, for example, the lens of John the Beloved, or the lens of the Apostle Thomas, who evangelized India and Asia. So there are different lineages of what we call the teachings of Jesus that went into Greece and Rome and Asia, and the European countries, and Russia, and throughout the world. There is even a lineage of yogis up in the high, high Himalayas that trace their very inception from the teachings of Lord Jesus, whom they call Isa, Isa Not, which means Lord, Not, N-A-T-H, Jesus. And they exist today. And they speak of when he came and studied in the high Himalayas and meditated. And people were always drawn to him. They speak of when he returned to his homeland and later suffered crucifixion. So these things are known in all the lands. But if we don't do a little bit of digging and studying and inquiry, we may be totally Johnny One Notes, settling for some dead doctrine that we're taught, second and third and fourth hand, sitting in a pew somewhere, and not having any power, and not even knowing of the authority that we are meant to walk in. You know, when Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan by his cousin John the Baptist, was different than John the Beloved. John the Baptist was sent to prepare the way for Jesus. And he was baptizing people for repentance. But he said, "One is coming after me who is so much greater than I am that I'm not even worthy to carry his sandals. And while I baptize you with water, this one who comes will baptize you with fire and with power." And then one day Jesus came, and John saw him coming, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. This is the one of whom I spoke, who will baptize you with fire." And Jesus didn't stop for an instant. He went right straight to John to be baptized. And John was like, "Who am I? You know, you should be the one that's baptizing me." But Jesus said, "No, it's right and in divine order that you do this." Because there were certain things that had to be fulfilled. As I've said before, there were 323 prophecies that were given in the Old Testament that foretold the coming of Messiah. And Jesus is the only one in all of history that fulfilled every single one of them. I understand there are many, 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 many more that speak specifically of his return. And I know many people argue, well, you know, he's just going to come as consciousness, or he's just going to come as global enlightenment, or he's just going to come as this or that. Bottom line is, they don't really know, do they? They're guessing. They're trying to interpret something that's way beyond their understanding. But we do know this, that when Jesus was taken up in the cloud at his ascension, he went up into a cloud that spoke and said, "Why are you standing there, gazing up into the sky? This same Jesus will return in the same way that he has left." So we are told again in Revelation that the Lord will come upon the clouds of heaven with his hosts of angels. Many people today interpret that as the coming of the cloud ships and the return of the Lord with the celestial hosts in Merkaba, ships of light. But however it will manifest, we are exactly in that time when the return is probably going to happen in our lifetime. Why? Because all of the things that were to have been fulfilled have been fulfilled. Right now, we are in the time mentioned of in the second chapter of Joel, that said, in those days, and that voice means just prior to the coming of Jesus, God speaking, "I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. That means everybody. And your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. And upon my handmaidens and men, I will pour out my spirit, and they will prophesy. So today, we have a great influx of information coming from the other planes of consciousness, but it's up to us to discern whether or not it comes from God, or it comes from the Nephilim, or the fallen spirits. And there's a lot of information coming through the Nephilim. How can you tell the difference? One always gives the power and the glory and the honor to God and to His Son, Jesus the Christ. The other gives power and glory to other spirits. Or worse, it denies the coming of Jesus. And the scriptures say very clearly that we are to discern whether something is from God or not by one thing. Those that are the spokespeople of truth will say that Jesus came in the flesh, embodied as a human being and lived on earth, and resurrected. So those that deny the resurrection, and worse, those that say that Jesus never came at all, that he was some sort of a hologram or whatever, these are the deceptive spirits. And boy, there's plenty of them out there today. So if you don't know that, if you don't know what the scriptures have to say about discerning truth and discerning the works of God and discerning the works of darkness, you really don't have enough information to operate without falling into deception. So that's, you know, we're in charge of how we use our time here, and what we feed into our minds. And quite frankly, we don't have time to be involved in things that don't have eternal ramifications right now. We really are in the last days, months, of a world that is going to be stable enough that we even have a moment to focus on study and prayer and meditation. So if we're not all prayed up, if we don't have the Word of God in our minds as the basis through which we discern truth and operate in the Spirit, we're going to have some difficult times ahead. March, this month here, begins two things. I don't speak about politics on my show, so I'm not going to give you the details of the mundane politics. But there's going to be some powerful impacts that are going to affect world leaders. And what affects one world leader affects everyone on the planet, because we're all interrelated in some way. So from this month onward, there's going to be just startling, jaw-dropping, shock and awe things happening. Number two, at the same time, you're going to have the greatest almost like a gigantic eruption of the power of God that's going to break out in every place that it can possibly surface, with miracles, with all sorts of things that are going to absolutely astound people, and do one of two things. Either they will be the real power and glory of God, which will transform you. If it's real, it will always produce transformation. You won't be the same. If it's real, if it's of God, it'll change your heart. It'll change your mind. It will change your life. It'll mess you all up. It'll turn you upside down, sometimes literally. But it will put you on that right path. The other temptation that may befall us is to follow after the miracles and the power and the wonders which then deceptive spirits will use to get you away from the path of truth. And above all, to prevent you from being really born again, which we spoke about last week. We must be born again, spiritually regenerated. Our lights have to be turned on. Our spirit has to be quickened. And we have to be delivered from the curse of the fall and its effects only by the blood of Jesus. Nothing else will do it. Sorry. Nothing else will cleanse you but that shed blood. That's why he came. That's why he went through that horrible ordeal. He did it willingly out of love for you and me and to lift our planet back into its divine preparedness for his return and the establishment of his kingdom. So we're all called to be ambassadors of the Messiah. We are Mashiach Mashishi. That means the collective Messiah, the peoplehood of God, the Soma Christu, the body of Christ. We are that. And we're also ambassadors from the great, great, great central sun realm, the imperishable star worlds, the divine throne realm magistrates. So we're here to establish not only the authority of the living sons and daughters of God that we are working through the power of the Holy Spirit, but we're also here to establish the divine kingdom upon a renewed, transformed earth under the governance of King Jesus. So, we are also, according to the scriptures, a peculiar people who are also priest kings, or priestess queens, if you prefer that added on, but I don't like to do the gender thing. Whenever the male gender is used, it means proactive, not passive. Proactive light. So that proactive light is to be proactive in the works of light right now. And we can't do that unless we're filled with the power of genuine power, which only comes from the Holy Spirit. So, first of all, let's point out something that's very important that just about nobody talks about. Discarnate spirits, discarnate entities, do not have legal authority to operate on earth. Let me say it again. Discarnate spirits, people who are on another dimension, in another form other than the human, have died and gone into the astral worlds, or extraterrestrials that are not in a human body, do not have legal authority to operate on earth. Only the human being have legal operational authority on earth. Now, that's why discarnate entities, by their gazillions, want to find somebody who will channel them. And they want to use them as mediums or possess their bodies if possible or get them to give their message through psychic channels. In other words, they want to use your watch, your air time, to give their messages, which are not of the highest. The highest messages were given through the only one that was sent to speak for the highest divine throne realms, and that was Jesus the Christ. That isn't to say that other religions and other teachers and other masters didn't have their part to play, and everything has its element of usefulness. But all of that became obsolete and replaced, in a sense, to the next level of a more simplified and excellent way, which is to step free through grace. Not to keep the going back into the wheel of reincarnation and karma. We can actually go through grace beyond these lower dimensional realms of testing and trial and pain and suffering. That is the new message called the gospel, or the, quote, good news. So, the human was given legal authority to operate on earth. And sometimes people abrogate their authority and give it over to some discarnate spirit. That is wrong. That's why it was forbidden in the scriptures to do that. Why? Because spiritualism and mediumism and psychic oracles were the religion of Atlantis. We're in a new root race now. But we have a lot of Atlanteans back on the planet. And Atlanteans always seem to want to go back into the old practices of mediumism and channeling and psychism. And they're not stepping forward into the challenge of being a spirit-filled disciple of the Christ, which is their next step for this particular time. Likewise, if you go and practice a religion that maybe was really good before Jesus came, but now it's like, you know, it's like trying to take the slow boat to China. Many people are being called to step out of those old religious paths, which, by the way, as soon as the head of those religions that inspired, that was the inspiration, usually when they depart, within about 100 years, the religions become totally corrupted by people who are not enlightened coming in and saying, well, no, he said this, or no, he said that. That's why Jesus wants to speak to you directly today, through his Holy Spirit. He wants you to hear his voice and hear him directly, and to know how to discern those voices that come to you, to know whether or not they come in his name and authority, or if they're just trying to use your airtime to deliver their messages. So, in Genesis, the first chapter, 26th verse, Elohim, which is plural for gods, the creator gods, said, let us make man after our own image and likeness, male and female. So, we know there's a father, mother, God, because it says so right here. And let us give them authority over everything on the earth, everything that flies, everything that's in the sea, everything that creeps and crawls upon the earth. And so, that is why we alone have the authority to operate on behalf of God on earth. Now, interesting thought. God, being a spirit without a form, had to come as his only begotten Son, Jesus, in order to legally operate on earth. But after Jesus ascended, he sent his spirit to indwell us and operate through us. So that is what is so awesome. And yet I find very few people, even in the Christian community, really understand this and really personalize the life of Jesus. They may worship Jesus and put him on the cross or venerate him, but they don't realize that they are to model Jesus, to walk out that same sonship, that same discipleship, that same level of anointing that Jesus actually gave us full authority to do. So this is something that really makes a huge difference between someone who is just following by faith but doesn't have any power, is not doing the greater works of Jesus, is just kind of, you know, occupying a pew in church, or believing something written 2,000 years ago, but they haven't gotten in touch with the living word that lives inside them, that tabernacles inside them. So we see the miracles and the healings that Jesus did as he walked among people. And sometimes these people think that it was Jesus doing these things in his power because he was the Son of God. But no, he actually was doing all of his miracles through the power of the Holy Spirit in him and through him. God had anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. So that was the secret of the ministry of Jesus, was the power that the Holy Spirit, working in and through him, was manifesting. And that is there for you and me. How do we receive it? Well, like all things divine, it's really very simple. You ask Jesus, who is the baptizer, to baptize you with the fire of the Holy Spirit. Just that simple. It's his ministry. He wants to do that. That's the other part of being born again. As soon as you're born again, the Holy Spirit takes active inhabitation inside you. But that gift, that ability to function through you, needs to be quickened and stirred up by receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's interesting. If you want to read about this, and I suggest you really do, because otherwise you're not going to have a real understanding or context of what I'm trying to speak about here, because it's a vast and beautiful, beautiful unfolding here. The book of Acts in the Bible, which follows the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, it's the New Testament, right after John, you have the book of Acts. And the book of Acts goes into describing what happened when Jesus said after he ascended, he said, I want you to go to an upper room in Jerusalem to wait and be in the Spirit with me, you know, just hang out there until the Holy Spirit fills you with power from on high. And then you will be my witnesses into the ends of the earth. So they were up there, 120 people, including the apostles, when all of a sudden great tongues of fire and a roaring sound and light and rushing wind filled this building they were in, and flames of fire were seen above their heads. And they began to speak in all different languages. That's called tongues or glossolalia, a heavenly language, sometimes known on the earth, and sometimes it's a heavenly language. But they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And if you read the Gospels, the apostles were pretty wimpy, because as soon as Jesus was taken off by the soldiers and incarcerated and was going to be tried and crucified, they got scared and they ran away. And Peter even denied the Lord three times, as the Lord said he would. So they were not exactly paragons of strength and power at that point. They were pretty wimpy. And they didn't really get the significance of Jesus yet either. They were following him, but, you know, they hadn't had the direct experience of the living God operating in them yet. So after they had this infilling by the Holy Spirit, they boldly went out and started prophesying and speaking to the people. In fact, Peter, who was the biggest wimp of all, who had just denied Jesus three times, he was like this lion of empowerment. And he really calls it, you know. He said, you crucified your Messiah, you did this, you did that. And I mean, he just really burned them, you know, with his rhetoric, and really called them down for what they had done to Jesus. But all of the apostles started preaching in all the different languages from the different people and different nations that were gathered there that day. And within a short period of time that morning, it says 4,000 people were added to their ranks as believers that day. And then they go forth and they start doing the same miracles with Jesus. Paul, the Apostle Paul, and Silas, for example, even their shadow would heal. So people used to take their sick and their lame and their diseased and just throw them in the pathway so that hopefully that the shadow of these apostles would fall upon the sick. And when the shadow did, they were instantly healed. So everybody was healed under the ministry of the disciples, the same as under the ministry of Jesus. There was no one who was not healed or if they were possessed by demons, there's no one that was not delivered from that oppression by Jesus or later by his apostles. So that's really what caught the attention of the ancient world was, wow, we've been worshiping these gods and doing all of these sacrifices and doing all this stuff, but here we are, sick and blind and lame and deaf and dumb and crippled, and we don't have any of this power. It's like, wow. So then the first of the imitators started coming down the pike. And there's a story about Bar Jesus, who was a false Jesus. And there's a story of the seven sons of Sceva. And the seven sons of Sceva, they were watching the apostles doing all this power. And they said, well, they do this power because they do everything in the name of Jesus. So let's go do the same thing. Let's do these miracles in the name of Jesus. And we want that power too. So they start to manifest or start to try to minister in the name of Jesus. And the spirits, the demons on the other side said, Paul, we know. Silas, we know. And you are? We don't know you. And they tore into them and beat them for a pulp. So you don't mess with these things if you don't know what you're doing. You better really know who you follow and that you're genuinely born again before you step out and try to minister in the name and authority of someone that you haven't married yet. You know, you ladies, you can't go out and call yourself Mrs. So-and-so and act in the authority of your husband if you haven't married him. You can't do that to someone you're living with. So likewise, we have to be married, heart, mind, body, and soul, to Jesus the Christ, Messiah, to operate in his authority and in his name. And then, when we do, all the power of the Father in heaven and on earth is able to source through us. God wants to heal through you. He wants you to touch people who are blind and let them see. He wants people who have deaf ears, he wants the ears to be opened. He wants the dumb to have their tongues loosened so they can speak. He wants the people who've had their amputated limbs, like over in Haiti, he wants those limbs to regrow, which they're doing in parts of Africa as we speak. Many of the people that have had their arms and legs cut off in portions of Africa are actually having their limbs regrow through prayer. Hello? God wants to do that because these things all came in under the fall. These are not part of God's will for man, that we be sick and poor and oppressed by the devil. We are to walk in the glory of sons and daughters of God, co-equal heirs of Christ. And the kingdom doesn't have sickness. It doesn't have blindness. It doesn't have AIDS. It doesn't have this stuff. So that's why AIDS is being healed in Africa and other parts of the world too, including America. But primarily, you see these miracles where people don't have anything else. They don't have access to New Age bookstores. They don't have access to any bookstores. They don't even have access to the Bible. They don't have access to anything. But they hear that Jesus heals. They believe it. They believe that Jesus will heal through them. They believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit. And so they get it. They receive it. And that's what they do. They go out and do these greater things, as I spoke on a recent show. Even babies, little tiny children, are doing these miracles through the power and anointing of the Holy Spirit, through their faith in Jesus and following after him as his disciples. So, again, it's amongst often the simplest of people, the most innocent, the most uneducated, the most unchurched and taught, that you often see the simplicity of God's love manifest in these wonderful and miraculous ways. There's a ministry called Iris Ministries with Heidi Baker and Roland Baker. And if you read their stories, I'm reading two of their books now. One is Always, There Is Always Enough, which is about how God materializes food to and other things to for them to take care of all these thousands of orphans. And then there's another book about how God, through just miracles of love, is operating through children who maybe were rescued out of human trafficking and drug dens and garbage pits and everything else, how they're transformed into these powerful young child evangelists and healers. And it's wonderful. It's exciting. But it's like a modern-day Book of Acts. So you people who may think that the stories in the Bible are just old stuff back in 2,000 years ago, need to do a little research and homework, because today, with the pouring, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon all flesh, this is happening today. But boy, the dark force doesn't want you to know about it. So it doesn't allow this to hit the light of day on the regular media. Or if it does, it's often followed with deniers and people who don't have direct experience, poo-pooing it or trying to find something wrong with it, or in some way casting doubt upon it. But there's a whole underground movement now of the charismatic power of the Holy Spirit that's operating. It's a whole underground world that is operating in every country. And people by the millions are discovering Christ because he is appearing to them, and in many cases healing their bodies. Sometimes he, for example, appears to many of the people in the Muslim faith. And he'll heal their bodies. Or he'll rescue them in some dramatic way. And then he'll say, I am Jesus of Nazareth. Come, follow me. Just like he did 2,000 years ago. He'll say, come, follow me. And, you know, when he speaks, you never think to say no, because you feel the very authority and purity and love of God himself speaking to you. So this is how millions of people are coming to Christ now, because he comes to them directly in vision, in materializing his body, which he has the power to be many, you know, like he can be any place at the same time, because he's not limited by time and space. Even though he's in a physical, immortalized body, he's not a spirit, he's not a discarnate, he's alive, he never died. He died on the cross, but he resurrected his body by defeating and canceling the curse. Death came onto the planet through the curse of the fall, through Adam's disobedience, Adam and Eve's disobedience. That's what opened the door to all of the horrible things that we have, like disease and war and hatred and fear. And criminality, all of the evils that came, did not come from God. They came from Satan having access to this earth through the sin of one man, which was Adam. In the Bible, it's always spoken of as Adam, not Adam and Eve. So Adam sinned, and the redemption came through one man who is called the second Adam, which would be Jesus of Nazareth. So while sin and death entered through one man, Adam, in the Garden of Eden, redemption, salvation, and life eternal was restored to earth through the second Adam, Jesus the Christ. So that's important to know, that death is not normal. Death is not God's will. War and hatred and disease and pain and suffering is not God's will. God did not create these things. These are the result of the fall. Even harmful insects and poisonous snakes and thorns and all of those things that give us torment in the physical world came with the fall. That's why when people die and they go and they're given visions of heaven, they play amongst the roses, and the roses don't have thorns. There's no harmful insects. There's no poisonous snakes. There's no death, no tears, no suffering, no pain, no disease. Can we even imagine what it's like to have God's kingdom restored on earth to where we don't have any of the effects of the fall anymore? Well, that's why you and I are here. We are the saints of these days that God wants to fill with his Spirit and use to bless the world in his name and to his glory with miracles. So make room in your life for the Holy Spirit. How do you do that? The presence of God, when you dwell in the presence, how do you do that? Well, how do you hang out with your friends? How do you hang out? Who do you hang out with? You can tell who people hang out with by the words of their mouth, how they speak, by the way their minds work, what they talk about, what they think about, and what they get involved with. That's why, bad company can absolutely corrupt you. It can cause you to curse and have foul language. It can cause your mind to go into very bad patterns. And people always recognize the disciples of Jesus because they could see Jesus and his mannerisms in his disciples. So if we are people of God, people should be able to look at us and see that we've spent time with God because we have pure divine speech coming out of our mouth. We speak truth. When we talk, we don't talk about stupid things. We talk about the things of God. We talk about what God is doing. We talk about the miracles. We talk about the manifestations. We talk about the healings. We talk about how God has transformed us. We talk about our victories over our shortcomings and our addictions and whatever else God has delivered us out of. That's what the people of God talk about. And so when you're born again, you don't want to hang out with people who are of the world anymore. The things that maybe you liked before that were of the world, it's disgusting to you. It just, you have aversion to it. But you want to be with other people who are spirit-filled and operating in the gifts and the ministries of the Holy Spirit. You want to be with other people who are enlightened and filled with God's love and God's joy and God's peace. You don't want to be with people who are always moaning and complaining and worried about this and worried about that. You don't hear that kind of talk amongst people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, truly filled with the Holy Spirit. You don't hear anything of that kind of rhetoric from someone who has been filled with the Spirit of the living God. No, they're on fire, man. They are so on fire with love and passion and desire to minister. And they're out there, and they're doing the hard things. I mean, Heidi Baker and her husband, Roland, went to the deepest, darkest places that they could find in Africa. They're in Darfur. They're in Sudan. They're in Mozambique. And thousands of people have been healed, resurrected from the dead, and saved and delivered from the darkest evil occult practices you could imagine, and given new lives in Christ through their simple ministry of love. Yes, very simple ministry of love. If you want to watch something, watch the film Mama Heidi. You can get it from Netflix. Mama Heidi. It's a whole DVD on the work of Iris Ministries in Africa. These things will open your eyes. And another thing, if you want to really read something that will knock your socks off, get the book, Visions Beyond the Veil. Visions Beyond the Veil. You can get it at Amazon. It's written by H.L. Baker, who is the grandfather of Roland Baker, Heidi Baker's husband. And you will hear about the incredible miracles that happened to urchins that were on the street of China and how the Holy Spirit filled these babies that didn't even know anything about the Bible, and Jesus materialized and taught them directly himself. Took them to heaven, showed them heaven and all the beauties, showed them hell and all the misery of the people who were lost, and filled them with the knowledge of his word, which they then went forth, very young evangelists, all of them, younger than 12, and just taken up out of the gutters of China, filled with the Spirit of God, supernaturally, had nothing to do with anything other than God touched them, and use them as these powerful instruments. So read about it. Read the message that Jesus gave a little 10-year-old boy. Word for word, he dictated to him what would befall the earth and what is befalling the earth and the very days and times that we see now happening on the planet. So these things are out there, and they're for you, and I think they're a better use of your time than going and sitting and listening to some channel who never has the power to bring any kind of transformation. What you get actually is confusion, and you waste time, because these spirits that are dead and in another dimension, they have no authority to speak into your life. They have no authority to do anything on Earth. They're not on Earth. All of the previous masters and avatars died. They're not on Earth anymore. Buddha died and is buried. Krishna died and is buried. They were all died, and they all were buried. So, yeah, you can believe there's a continuity of life, that these beings reincarnate or their mantle falls upon someone. But, you know, we can always find a way to explain these things to where it serves our weakness. But what if the Bible is absolutely accurate, that there was no name given under heaven and earth by which man may be saved but the name of Jesus? What if that's true? What if we actually have the opportunity in this lifetime to never have to come back here again? Because who knows what will happen to us if we fall under what I believe is the product of the fall, reincarnation and karma, I believe came in with the fall. You know, I've many times sat with Jesus in a pencil and paper and asked him to speak to me about these things. And he always tells me there's no karma in Christ. I've come to set the captives free. And when I said on the cross, it is finished, he didn't say, I'm going to come back again and finish it in another lifetime. He didn't say, this is going to be continued. He didn't say, continue to work out your karma, and maybe your good karma, you'll be able to come back in another lifetime and follow me. No, he didn't say that. So what if we take him at his word? Don't you think if his word were not accurate, he would have corrected it by now? Hello? Do you know he's speaking to people today? He's spoken to me. I've seen him. I hear his voice. And you can too. He says, my sheep hear my voice. And they won't follow anyone else. It's like a sheep that are under a shepherd. They won't pay any attention to the call of any other shepherd. They follow that one shepherd. So, check it out. Check it out. And if you want power, ask Jesus to baptize you with the fire of the Holy Spirit. And begin to step forth and exercise your ministry. Last week we spoke about the word of knowledge and how when you're filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, you have incredible boldness. All the shyness, all the self-consciousness goes out the door, and you are filled with God's power. And you just naturally find yourself stepping out and boldly praying for people that are sick. If you want to be used as an instrument of healing, begin to lay hands on people and pray for them. In the name of Jesus, I speak healing from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Be every bit whole in Jesus' name. That's it. That's all you need to say. That's all you need to do. You don't even need to say that. Just have the intention that they're healed in Jesus' name. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed. You know, it's enough. You're not doing it. The prayer isn't doing it. God is doing it. That's something we have to get in our little New Age minds. Is that God is doing it through us. We're not responsible. The only thing we need to do is make room for the presence of God and allow God, without our censure, without our ego, to use us in very simple ways. But step out boldly and don't think that you're responsible for the results. The Course in Miracles says that all healing is maximal, that everyone is healed the minute you pray for them. They're healed, whether or not there is any evidence at all in the natural. Sometimes healing manifests as the fact they leave their body. How can that be healing? Because the body, according to Sai Baba, he calls the body the wound. Yeah, the body's like a wound. So to be healed is to not be here at all. It's to be able to step out of here back into the realms of reality and not have to return. How can we do that without being enlightened? Through the grace of Jesus. He wraps you up in his mantle of love and carries you home to the Father. Just that simple. He has the authority to do that. He has a physical body which enables him to operate legally here. But he wants the whole family, the whole friendship, to have now the opportunity to work in his name as his instruments, which is even better. Because now we're a big family. You know, the saying is that God sowed one seed to grow up a whole family. And so we're the family of God. We're the brothers and sisters of Jesus, our elder brother. And that's the whole purpose, is that we show forth the kingdom of God in our Father who sent us. Just as Jesus, we're to do the will of the Father who sent us. I love the prayer in the Course of Miracles. I'll say it to you. I am here only to be truly useful. I am here to do the will of He who sent me. I don't have to know what to do or what to say, because He who sent me goes with me. And I am content to be wherever He is. And I forgot the rest of it. But anyway, you can read it in the Course in Miracles. And I am healed as I allow Him to teach me to heal. And also a part I forgot is that I don't have to know what to say or what to do, because He who sent me will let me know. You know, he'll speak through me. You know, when I'm in transmission mode here, it's hard to remember something I read in a book, so forgive me. But it's in the Course in Miracles. And if I were not in this higher state of consciousness, I'd be able to quote it to you. But when I'm working with you, I'm working through the Holy Spirit. These aren't my words. These are the words of the Holy Spirit using me as an instrument, as much as I'm able to get out of the way and to be simple and let His words replace my knowing, my knowledge, my book learning. I have to set that aside and just let the Holy Spirit say what He wants to say. And what He wants to say to you is that you were created by love, of the warp and woof of love. You are love itself. You are the only way that God's invisible love can be made manifest on earth. You are the only way that the invisible absolute God can manifest directly upon earth. Your hands are the only way that God Almighty can touch the people today. Your lips and words are the only words and lips that can speak His message into the minds and hearts of people today. Your feet are the only feet to which His Spirit can walk this earth and claim it for God's glory and God's kingdom. Do you realize what a great calling you have? Do you realize how much more important that is than knowing what planet you're from or what your commander name is or when Ashtar is going to beam you up or what else? What so-and-so channeled or if, you know, what's going to happen in 2012? Do you understand that we're speaking of things that aren't affected by such limitations? It's time to put aside the things of childhood and to mature as a living son and daughter of God, just like Jesus. Put Him on, just like a Jesus suit. Get inside that consciousness and wear it. Put it on. Of course, the Christ will look different coming through you than it did Jesus of Nazareth. We're not supposed to be little carbon copies of His form. But we are to be replicas of His magnificent love, His magnificent attunement to the presence of God. Can you tabernacle the presence? Can you hang out in it? Put on some worship music, something that's uplifting and inspiring to you. And just raise your hands in the air and just start thanking God for everything you can think of. Just start praising Him. God, you're so magnificent. I just want to thank you. Thank you for my home. Thank you for the knowledge that I have. Thank you that I have access to radio programs like this. Thank you that I can go to church and carry a Bible without being murdered and martyred. Thank you that I have freedom of speech. Thank you that I can grow and I can go to church openly and be with other believers. I don't have to hide in caves and meet in hidden places for fear of being thrown in prison. Thank you so much. Speaking of which, do you know that more Christians have been martyred for their faith in the 19th and 20th centuries and the 21st centuries than in all of the world wars throughout history? Yeah, think about it. There's a price that many people pay to hear these kinds of teachings. I wouldn't live to do another show in most lands. So we are so spoiled here in the West that we have access to these kind of teachings, this kind of truth. And I think we really, really can say thank you, God. Thank you, thank you, thank you that I am who I am, that I have access to this information, and that I have heard your call. I have heard your message to be born again. I have heard your message to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And I know now I don't have to do anything but ask you like a little child and receive. And the proof that the gospel message is true, that you're hearing, is that it's always followed by signs and wonders. What does that mean? Something happens. You're not the same. Something happens in your life. Let's say you're delivered from alcohol. You suddenly lose the taste to smoke cigarettes. You suddenly completely give up an addiction to dope without any kind of withdrawal. Suddenly, your dementia is gone. Suddenly, they test you for AIDS and you don't have AIDS anymore. Or your cancer goes into remission and the tumor disappears. There is no limit to what God will do in your life. There is no limit. But Jesus also said that you have not because you didn't think to ask Him. So ask. Ask. Ask exactly for what you want. It's your right. It belongs to you. Nobody is depriving you, but your own thinking that you're not worthy. Look, we would never be worthy if it was left to us. We were filthy in sin. That's why the Savior was sent, with the only detergent that would make us white as snow, which happened to be His shed blood. That is the only thing that blots out the stain of sin. I know. There's a lot of people that are so politically correct, they don't say that. They take these holy words out of their hymnals. They water down the gospel. And that's why they have a dead building with no living spirit. And a dead building where the spirit has departed leaves you with one thing, religion, but not a living relationship. Religion won't save you. Prayer won't save you. Nothing will save you but God through Jesus. That's His job. That's His job. You don't need anything else. Nothing else is required but simple faith. You hear, you believe, you receive. That's it. Done. Finished. You don't have to do it again. You know, it's interesting. I remember I said that sinner's prayer, you know, the prayer of salvation, many, many times. But you know, I didn't feel saved until that one time I told you 10 years ago, when I believed with all my heart. I kept hearing and hearing, and one day it suddenly clicked, and I believed. I believed the gospel of salvation, and the moment I believed, I was transformed. And you know, I never looked back. I've never changed. Since then, my whole being inside out was transformed. And moreover, I had a peace about being liberated that I never had before. Before, every time I heard somebody lead the sinner's prayer, I would always find myself standing up and saying it with them. Now that would never even occur to me to do that, because I know that I have been delivered from death into life. I know that. And you might say, yeah, well, the body's still going to die. Yeah, but that doesn't matter, because the body is going to be quickened and resurrected to immortal light body, whether or not it dies. Doesn't matter if it dies. It's still going to be resurrected to immortal life. That's what the Bible says. So whether you die or you go in the rapture, in fact, the people who die, who are dead in Christ, they're the first ones that are going to be raptured to meet the Lord. The very first ones will be the dead in Christ. And what happened the first time with the first resurrection, if you read in the Bible, when Jesus was crucified and the earthquake tore the temple, this big heavy temple curtain, like 3-4 inches thick, was torn from top to bottom supernaturally when Jesus was crucified, which meant now we have full access to God. We don't have to go through a priest or sacrifices of animals. We have direct access to God in his most holy place. That's what that meant. And then there was a huge earthquake, and the sky, which was early in the afternoon, it became black as night. And the dead were seen to walk the streets of Jerusalem. That's the first resurrection. I've never heard anybody preach about that. I wonder why they don't. That's the first resurrection. And what Jesus did was that it says in the scriptures, he actually went down into hell and released the people that had been held there. And it's like, actually it was Sheol. Sheol is not really hell, but it's translated hell, but it's also called Abraham's bosom, or we would call it the astral plane. But it's where souls were held in this like holding pattern until the coming of Messiah, because they weren't allowed by the negative power by Satan to go to heaven. We were in a cul-de-sac of entrapment. So Jesus' first task was to release those people who had been held captive, and they resurrected in the first resurrection. But there will be another resurrection during the time that Jesus comes back for his church, his body, his collective believers, his collective born-again body called the body of Christ, or his bride. It's also called the bride. He comes back, and we are delivered out of this world before the massive earthquake that levels everything. Yeah, that's in the scriptures too. There's a comet that's going to come. It's mentioned in the scriptures. And massive earthquake, it says that the whole earth will turn and wobble and shake like a drunken man. And everything will be laid low. The mountains will be flattened. And that's all in the Bible. Why do you go to some goofy psychic when you can read already what God Almighty has written about these times? It's as clear as the nose in your face. It's not hard to understand. Not at all. You can get the New Living Translation or the New International Version of the Bible. There's no these and thous and dusts and don'ts. I mean, it's very clear English. So there's no excuse not to read the real, authentic, prophecy of what's going to happen on the planet. But the good news is that the believers, the born-again believers, will not be here to go through the tribulation with the Antichrist and all the stuff that's supposed to cleanse the earth of evil. Yeah, evil will be cleansed from this earth. You know, it's in the scriptures. But we will not be there to see it. We will see it from afar. We will not be in it. So the most important thing is to be prepared and watching for the Lord, because if you're not watching for him and prepared, you won't see him. He'll come and go, and that'll be the end of it. Just like that transmission that I received from Jesus that I read on the show some time back. He said, only those who are watching and waiting for me will see me. The rest will be swept away into a world that's going to go into chaos. So very often you don't hear people speak about the fact that the earth will will be cleansed. It's going to be cleansed with fire. Tremendous heat will come upon the earth. It's going to be cleansed with a major battle that they call the War of Armageddon, which is already raging in the minds of people as they are being tormented with whether to follow Christ or whether to follow the ways of the world. So we have a battle going on in our minds for the human soul. And that's going to be down on the earth too at some point, according to the scriptures. And boy, we're right in the time of Ezekiel 38. If you want to know where we are in some of this scenario, we're in chapter 24 of Matthew. We're in Ezekiel 37 and 39. We're in, just before the third and fourth chapter of Revelation. But you'll notice that after, I think it's the fourth chapter of Revelation, we're not on the earth anymore. So again, ask the Holy Spirit to anoint your understanding and get yourself a nice, clear, easy-to-read version of the Bible and let God show you in his own authorized word, because all scripture is spirit-breathed. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, is the author of genuine scripture. And we're finding every day more and more archaeology that proves the absolute historical accuracy of the Bible. So I wouldn't be second-guessing it at this stage of the game. You're very foolish if you do that. So, again, ask to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Discern what you are spending your time and your energy and your life stream being involved with. Don't get involved in the psychic practices that should have been outgrown and left behind in Atlantis, which led eventually to the destruction of Atlantis. And there's two kinds of power. There's the power of the Holy Spirit, which is God's power, and there's the power that comes from the human intellect and biophysical energy field, which we see exemplified in shamans and Tao masters and martial arts practitioners and yogic cities and what else? Basically the shamans. That is not Holy Ghost power. That is power that comes through techniques and knowledge and spirits. You know, often the witch doctors and the shamans, they operate through the elemental spirits that come in and help their work. Sorcerers have their familiars, which are demon spirits, and that's what helps them with their power. So they don't have the Holy Spirit. They work with entities from other realms that come in and do their bidding. And that is the dark side. That is the bad side of using that kind of power. Yogic cities are a great temptation. Even the greatest yogic masters will say that we shouldn't run after the power of cities. City, S-I-D-D-H-I-S, means powers that come naturally as you do yogic practice, you develop these abilities. And these abilities can keep you from merging with the highest aspect of God. They can keep you trapped, again, in your own self-importance, your own self-aggrandizement. And what doesn't give glory to God is not worthy of you to be involved with. If it doesn't give glory to anything more than you and your flesh, it's not big enough for a child of God. It's unworthy. So you were designed for greatness. You were designed to be the direct emissary and ambassador of God and Christ and his kingdom. So that's the great heritage that you're being called to. So don't settle for these peanuts, these little things, these lesser things, these things that maybe you could have wasted a few lifetimes on a few times back. But this is the end. This is the graduation. This is the last hurrah. And we're out of here. So think soberly about some of these things I'm sharing with you, and ask God to validate it for you if it's true. You know, if it's true, Jesus will confirm it in some way for you. And so there you have it. The psychic power, it's interesting. It depletes you You can always tell when you're operating in the psychic power because you'll run out of steam. You'll get very tired and depleted. And if you notice, people who practice the dark arts, they start to age very rapidly, and they assume an ugly countenance. Everything of God is beautiful and vital. It gives you energy, vitality, luster, and health. Everything of the dark side depletes you, drains you, eats you up, and wastes you. So that's why it's so important to feed yourself on the bread of life, which is the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit of Jesus who is the bread of life. Nourish yourself with the Word, and it will keep you vibrant, radiant, young, healthy, and beautiful. And the glory of God will shine from your face. All the saints have lustrous, glowing faces. And it's because they are feeding on the Amrita, on the nectar of immortality, on the bread of life, on the wine of the Holy Spirit. Not wine, but it's called the wine of the Holy Spirit, which is the same as the Eastern word Amrita, the nectar of immortality. So that's what we are to imbibe and to be filled with. And that's the best cosmetic that you can possibly have. So let's go out with, let's do Yeshua Shalom. Deep breath. Yeshua Shalom. Yeshua Shalom. Yeshua Shalom. God bless each and every one of you, and God willing, I will be with you same time next week. Adonai.